Okay, so there's no video. All right, this is it. You got me live. Charlie, you ready?
You suppose.
Okay. All right. How often do you feel unqualified? An awful lot of the time. That's good. That's good. You feel unworthy, ill-equipped to do what you have been called or asked to do. Maybe you feel that way with your family sometimes. Maybe you feel that way in your marriage. Maybe in your other relationships. Maybe even in your work setting. How many times do we run into circumstances, even at church? I had a lady, this must be computer morning problem, because I got over to the other place and they have this little clicker, and the lady was back there clicking and nothing was happening. So I had to bring her down to the front while the service had already started and show her how she could just hit the button on the computer. And it took a little bit of work. You know, you had to do it a few times before she caught on. And then I get a message while I'm coming over to this church. Hey, we're not getting anything this morning, just so you know. How many of you feel inadequate at times, huh? Yeah. Sometimes we do feel incapable, unworthy, and sometimes that can be a good thing. For we will look this morning at those words of Paul that were read for you from 2 Corinthians. He said, even though I receive such wonderful revelations from God, God kind of hit him with a lot of things and revealed to him wonderful things. He said, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in the flesh. That's the way life goes sometimes, doesn't it? You get something wonderful, but then you kind of get a little jab with it as well. And he said that thorn in the flesh came along, and he said, I prayed 3 times. I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time God said back to him, my grace is sufficient for... Don't you hate it when God says that to you? My grace is sufficient for you. That means, oh, I got to keep doing this on my with my thorn in the flesh. My power, God said, works best in weakness. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness, Paul says, and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I have suffered for Christ. For when I am, he is strong, and he makes me strong. And the Bible, you know, is full of stories from the book of Genesis all the way to the final pages of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It is full of stories of unqualified people. So you don't need to feel alone this morning, all right? You're in a group, a company of a lot of great unqualified people. You remember we talked about Jesus' lineage a couple weeks ago. We shook his family tree, and you know what happened? A bunch of nuts fell out. And we said if we shook your family trees, a bunch of nuts would drop out. And maybe you'd be one of those nuts. And then we looked last week at Peter. We called him big mouth, brash, bold, uneducated, untrained, and often wrong, Peter. And yet God used those nuts that fell out of Jesus' family tree, and he used people like Peter, and he used everybody from the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation to tell the story of God and to tell the story of Jesus. Today we're going to look at another one of those characters. His name is Stephen. By a lot of people's standards, Stephen was unqualified. You look at Stephen's life, you look at the things that were going around on in the culture, and you might have looked at Stephen and said, well, I think the same thing, a big old unqualified for him. But with all that was going on, Stephen stepped right up. And he showed himself to be qualified when he put himself in the hands of God. You see, sometimes we don't think we're worthy because of what we've done in the past. And sometimes we think we're unworthy because maybe we didn't do something in the past or we missed an opportunity. And sometimes we don't think we can do things because something else happened before we showed up and, you know, we're just not part of the original group. Acts chapter 6 introduces us to the character of the day. Stephen acts as the book of history of the new church. What happened was this small fledgling group of people would grow in an unbelievable manner because the Spirit of God, as the story we shared this morning, came upon it. And as this church is starting to get roused up and ready to go in the world, big problem comes up. Big problem in Jerusalem. See, the belief of the day was the best place to die, if you were a Jewish person, was in Jerusalem itself. So if you were a fella getting up in years, of course you would have married a younger woman. But if you're in your final years, your final leg of life, you'd have packed the wife up, taken her from her family and her friends, and taken her back to Jerusalem. And eventually you die and she'd be stuck there, left behind to deal with what was left. Some places today, you don't really see it in the newspaper or see it on television, but there are homeless problems galore. Show me that you're sticking with me here, okay? Some smiles, some head nods. Charlie, please, all right? We have a homeless problem. They didn't have a homeless problem. They had a widow problem. And they needed to do something about that widow problem. Widows needed care. And while all this was going on, this church movement was starting to develop. And these people that were part of the church had this tremendous ability to love. They had watched Jesus. Some of them had walked with him. They watched him showing love and kindness and generosity and meeting needs and caring for other people. And so this budding church begins to attract these widows that realize, hey, there's somebody here to care for me. And that brings us to Acts chapter 6. We read, but as believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, fancy name, shows they're important. It says, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles can spend We can spend our time. We, the important ones, the ones who walked with Jesus and served with Jesus, then we can spend our time praying and teaching the word. It says everybody liked the idea and they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Philip, another man. And then 3 names that Gloria tried and she couldn't, so I'm not going to try. And Nicholas of Antioch. And these seven were present to the apostles who prayed over them and laid their hands on them. And so we have this commissioning. You see, there was 12 disciples. Do you remember the little song? There were 12 disciples. Jesus came to help them. Help me here. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, that is Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. You don't remember this? Oh. Since you all clapped, he has called you to, he has called you to, you are his disciples, I am one and you, he has called you to, he has called you to, we are his disciples, I am one and you. All right, now we can finish it. All right, all right, all right.
Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Okay. 11 guys, one of them, the one who had killed Jesus, he committed suicide. But these now 11 guys who would call a 12th one, they have a problem. The problem is this: they have all of these widows who need to be fed. And they're like, man, we don't got time for this problem. And you got to imagine through all of this, Stephen is a real human being with real feelings and faults. And he knows what's going on around him. And although he doesn't say it, if I was him, I would be like, well, there are the apostles. These are the important ones. They're too busy to deal with the food problem. Hey, those are the guys that matter. They were the ones around Jesus. They were the ones that made it happen. And they served with Jesus. And they were back with him meeting needs. And since I wasn't around back then, Uncle, I can't do it. And then we talk about Judas, the one who had betrayed Jesus. Remember, he killed himself, and the disciples needed a replacement, and they had their criteria about who could be in their team. So they created this criteria. First and foremost important was one of the apostles. You had to be with them back when they were with Jesus, when he walked the earth and preached and taught. Because back then, that was important. Things were getting done. They were moving and shaking. I'm taking this live thing a little too serious. So Jesus could have, Stephen could have easily believed, oh man, I'm too late to the show. I missed the most important and big moments. And now in front of them is a group of people, a group of widows, and they're asking me to do a food program. You see, it was a problem for the apostles because they had to pray and to preach. But Stephen said, I don't see a problem, I see an opportunity. And he could have just stepped back and said, no, I don't think so. Leave it to the big guys. See, we have no idea what it would have been like coming on Jesus' heels. We would have had no idea what it was like with hanging out with the apostles. Maybe you have said, well, back then, those were my best days. I was young. Oh, if I would have known then what I know now. Too often, though, we say things like, back then, I missed out, so I'm disqualified right now. I missed my chance back then. If only I would have done blank. How many of us today disqualify ourselves because of something we missed out on in the past? And if Stephen, who was stepping into the early church, if he would have thought, well, everything important had happened in the past, where would the church have been when it came to feeding these widows? Going to talk about that at choir practice on Wednesday night? You know I'm teasing you. Second tension is that there is this thing going on that, you know, Jesus will come back soon. We know. We're confident. Any second he's going to come back, we will see him coming up over the hillside. Him and his heavenly army will be coming in from into Jerusalem, and things will change. And when Jesus shows up, everything will change, and the ground around us will be different. So let's just wait. And wait for Jesus to come, and he'll take care of that stuff. And here comes Stephen, and he steps right in the middle of a moment. He wasn't around back then, and he's got a lot of people saying, well, why don't we just wait for the second coming, and it'll be done right? The then and the when. And there was a tension there. In the middle of it, in the middle of the church, and Stephen was caught in the middle of it. And I'm afraid that that tension still exists today. Oh, Jesus will take care of it when he comes. Or that was back then, and I too many times today I hear people say, I feel like I'm aging out, or I feel like I've lost. I'm just too old. I missed my moment back then. In the same way, I sometimes think the same way. I think when I finally mature, when I finally grow up, then I'll be ready. When I get my act together, God will use me. I hear people say, when I retire, when I get my degree, when I get old enough, when I get out of debt, when I get smart enough, then I will. And too many of us discredit ourselves because of what happened back then. Or what we're waiting for to happen in the future. And you know what the shame of it is? We miss the here and the now. Oh, smile a little bit like you're listening. We miss it. It's going on in front of us right now. And we miss what God wants to be doing. We miss too much of what is in front of us because we've discredited ourselves because of the thens and the whens. And this is why I love Stephen. If I had been him, I'd have been racked with insecurity. I'd have been doubting and discrediting myself. I'd have been like, man, the apostles are over there. Go talk to them or wait until Jesus comes. In the meantime, I'm just going to step back to the back of the crowd and let somebody else handle it. But he stepped up and he said, what can I do? I'm not an apostle. And I know when Jesus comes, it will be done much better than anything that we're doing right now. But what you got right now is me. So what do you want me to do? Right. Some of us need to stop whining and waiting and start to begin being fully present in the moment. Maybe there's something in our past that we think disqualifies us, and yet maybe there's something we're waiting to happen that disqualifies us. But why can't we say, God, right now, right here, here I am. You need somebody to serve tables, here I am. And God, if you come along with me, we'll serve tables like nobody ever served tables. Here Stephen is, he's caught up in the midst of this problem, now opportunity, serving these widows. And I could imagine those seven began to think, man, we could build a cupcake factory, and we could probably build like frozen food factory and all those things. And we'll just mass produce them. And man, we will get to sit with those older ladies and tell stories and knit and crochet. I mean, it doesn't get better than sitting with your grandma having lunch, especially when grandma makes the lunch. So he starts showing up and serving, and these kind old ladies, you know, they're just loving on him. And then somebody steps into his territory and starts to disrupt what Stephen had signed up for. Acts chapter 6, verse 8, of Stephen, a man full of God's power and grace, performed amazing miracles and signs amongst the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene and Alexandria and Sicilia and the province of Asia. And they started to mess with Stephen's thing. And none of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit to which Stephen spoke. And so they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen, saying, "We've heard him blaspheme Moses and even God." And this roused the people and the elders and the teachers of the law, the religious law. And so they arrested Stephen and brought him to the high council. And the lying witnesses came forward. "This man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. We've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs Moses has handed down." And at this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel. At this point, Stephen could have come up with a million reasons to drop back and say, "Well, we'll wait for the future." But he was in the middle of the now, and he wasn't going to bolt. He could have said, "We're just feeding some older ladies here. Take it up with the apostles, man. I'm just doing my food thing here. I don't want to deal with this." I would have discredited myself because I don't want the now that is now before me. But Stephen stepped up. He had every reason to say, no, this is not my jam. But Stephen was faithful. He didn't count himself out. He offered himself up. And he trusted his faithfulness to the moment in front of him, that if he showed up and God showed up, God would do the rest. He was not an apostle. He wasn't theologically trained. He was not set up for this moment, but he was just there to serve tables. He said, "God, here I am. Here is my best. Do the..." Okay, this is not that hard, okay? The word is best, okay? You, God, you do the... Hey, there we go, good. And from some of us, the nows that we are facing, we don't want to face. I don't like my marriage. I don't like my kids. Those darn grandkids. Maybe it's not the job we want right now. Maybe it's not the debt that we want right now. Maybe we're looking at our now right now and it doesn't seem so great. Maybe you're dealing with health issues. Maybe there's an issue in your particular community. Maybe there's issues at work and you feel like saying, man, I didn't sign up for this. And we could disqualify ourselves. We can bow. But maybe we have learned like Stephen that if we trust Jesus, he'll use our faithfulness in the moment to be enough for the moment. That faithfulness that he will show up and guide us. I know you don't want to do, I know that you don't want to say, I know that you're not trained for all this. But Lord, if I don't do it, I don't know who will. I'm ready if you walk with me. Verse we started with this morning wasn't even written at the time that Stephen was going through his deal. But I think he knew it. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so the power of Christ can work through me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I should tell my wife, you know what? Why does all the people say strong when I show my muscles? And she'd say, what muscles? Put in the context of today, Jesus' grace is all you need. His power works best when we, you, me, are unqualified. So now we can boast that we are unqualified or in our unqualifiedness so that the power of Christ can work through us. For when we are unworthy, when we are unqualified, he qualifies us. And when we are over our heads, when we feel like we are ready to step out in the now and say, this is somebody else, that's not what I signed up for. He says, we got this. He trusted his faithfulness to the moment, or in the moment, that God would be faithful. And Jesus was enough in that moment. So the question is, what are you facing this morning? What are you facing this morning? What is it? What in your now? Are you looking to say, I can't handle that? I never got what I'll be ready someday, but not now. And Jesus says, I know you can't, but with me you can if you just show up. Stephen showed up, but Jesus showed up, and the sermon of a lifetime was preached. And as it was preached, you could hear within his voice the passion, and he starts getting welled up, and the people around him started to get enraged in the moment. They realized that Stephen needed to die. So they had the rocks ready and the stones to pelt him. And they kept pelting him until he got killed. It was brutal, it was awful, but Stephen kept on in the moment and became the first martyr of the faith. He could have unqualified himself, said then, when, now, but he chose to be faithful. Faithful to the very end. And Stephen makes me want to stop unqualifying myself because I didn't get or because I'm still waiting on. And just say, hey, God, what is going on in my now moment? What would happen for us if we stopped unqualifying ourselves and started being faithful? Just saying, Jesus, I'm here. What do you want me to do? We may never, like Stephen, find out if it was worth it. We know that Stephen's act was worth it. And God will prove faithful every time we say, I'm here. God, will you come into my now, to my problem, to my opportunity, and do your work as only you can. Real quick, extra story. John Maxwell, he used to love to tell this story. He was a young preacher someplace, and he said, I was living, waiting to get married, and I was preaching at this little church in Dinkville, wherever. And he said, they invited me to a church picnic. And he said, all I had at home was bologna and bread. And so he made himself a bologna sandwich, and he put it in the package, and he toted it off to church, and he preached. And they said, oh, pastor, we got to come out and have picnic time. And did you bring something, pastor, for the table? Yeah, I brought my bologna sandwich. He said, one of those older ladies came up to him, gave him a big old hug and kiss and said, oh, pastor, we love you. We're glad you're here. Give me that bologna sandwich. And she took it out of the bag and opened it up and threw those couple of pieces of bread on the table and the meat with it. And what he saw before his eyes was literally a church picnic. Come on, you know, literally a feast. So that's what happens when you do your little and God does his lot. And you feast on all of it. So what's your bologna sandwich? And do you got the guts? Do you got the drive? Do you believe God is saying, come on, I'm waiting. Let's do this together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these fine folks that just listen to me go on. But Lord, as long as I talk about you, how I love to go on. Because they just see a weak servant. But Lord, when I invite you in, then I'm strong because I'm leaning on your strength. Help us all, Lord, to lean more on you, to look into the now, to not worry about the past, not worry about the future, just focus on the now. And do, Lord, the amazing things that you want to do through us. We can step back and say, wow, I'm feasting at the table that the Lord has provided. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.